Hello and welcome to Tapping Into Abundant Success Podcast with Vicky Chisholm, psychic business healer, transformation coach and strategist. Woohoo! Now, inside this podcast, we are going to elevate your soul, help you get clarity on your desires. We are going to show you what it's like to be inspired, to overcome adversity, and more importantly, learn the tips and tricks to become more abundant by tapping into success one day at a time, unlocking those dreams. Let's go! Hello and welcome back to another episode of Tapping Into Abundant Success. Today I have the amazing Brandon Gano with me, and he is from whatif.com. So Brandon, tell me a little bit more about you.
Absolutely. Yeah. First of all, thank you, Vicky, for having me. I'm excited to be here. You mentioned whatif.com. That's what I do. We are fractional COOs. We're business consultants, and we just love to help people grow their businesses, but really by doing less, by doing as little as possible. We joke and say we're the lazy consultants. Not that we're lazy. We work hard for our clients, but we don't want our clients working hard and burning out, because that's just the common theme today in the marketplace is work harder to get ahead. We're big fans of working smarter and working less, but just really focusing on the right things and helping our clients seek their version of abundance through that. Because what's the point if you work 80 hours a week and you don't get to enjoy life?
Exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. It's not fun. And I have burnt out, so I totally get that. And I'm sure there's plenty of entrepreneurs that are listening into this right now going, yes, we all know burnout. We get it.
Same here, yeah. Join the party, right? Yeah. It's a burnout party.
Let's go for a pity party, more or less. Yeah. And so we all understand it. We all get it. We all acknowledge it. So what did you do then to change that story in yourself? Because most entrepreneurs teach things that they've had to overcome. So what was it for you that you taught yourself to do the shift and to help others prevent burnout?
Yeah, so for me, it was very much that same story. It was thinking you needed to do more of what you're doing in order to grow your business. So this was maybe 5 or so years ago at this point, and I was working 60, 70, 80 hours a week. That business that I owned was a manufacturing business. So Q4 for us was insane. I think I worked on average 80 hours a week from middle of September through Christmas. And if that doesn't burn you out, I don't know what will. I was on the verge of clinical burnout. I had a doctor tell me you need to cool it or you're going to kill yourself. So that was the eye-opening moment for me. And I said, all right, in addition to that, I was missing my son being born and growing up. The first 6 months of his life, I did not know him. I was never home when he was awake. So it opened my eyes to say, you know, what has to change here? Why am I prioritizing a business that's killing me and not the family that gives me life, really, is my purpose for being here? So I just had to take a step back and say, other people are doing this. They're working very little and making a lot of money, or their business runs without them. For me, it wasn't about the money, but it was really like, how do I get out of here? How do I get out of this business? So I had to figure out what it was. And I took a step back, and there was a couple of things I did from some great mentors of mine, from events and conferences and podcasts like this one. And I just put all the pieces together. And I said, what are like the three things that I could focus on that will get me the biggest lift and get me out of this business? So that's what I did. I went all in on that. And I went from working about 80 hours a week to less than 5 on average in 6 months. So it was a massive shift for me.
Yeah, that sounds like a massive shift as well. So what would you say was the main focus point that you did to be able to pivot from burnout to being more relaxed and enjoying your business?
It was the Charmin philosophy, if you will. I completely made that up, but Charmin, the toilet paper company, I love to use them as an example because they always say less is more, right? Kind of a funny example, but that was it. I was trying to be in that business. I was trying to be all things to all people. I was trying to serve too many customers. I was trying to do too many things within the business. And I knew I had to do less, but I didn't understand that concept at the time. It was like, how do you do less and still maintain where you're going or even grow your business? Yeah. So it just started to open my eyes up and say like, all right, what are the things, it's the 80-20 rule. Like, what are the things that get me the biggest lift? Let me do that and kind of ignore the rest and see what happens. And what I found out really quickly was by just focusing on those few activities that make the business the biggest difference in the business, and then also light me up as a human being, because that I think is most important. If you hate accounting and bookkeeping and all you're focusing on is doing that in your business, it might be the biggest needle mover, but it's still gonna eat at your soul and eat you alive, and you're gonna hate it. So you're gonna move yourself into burnout at some point. So it's a combination of those two things: biggest lift, and within your, some people call it the zone of genius, whatever you want to call it, whatever lights you up, do those things, and then learn how to be a leader immediately. That's what I focus on. I hired a team, I outsourced, I delegated, and I became really good at being a leader, and I avoided being a doer, if you will. So that kind of mix is what got me moving on that path really, really quickly.
Yeah, I hear that. I really hear that a lot. Okay, so key takeaways then from that was really about learning how to be a leader so that you're not doing all the do. And secondly, you then chose to be the outsourcer. So you chose the tasks that you wanted to outsource. You got those that are better at you that doing some of the tasks. And therefore that gave you freedom to do who you are, to do what you wanted to do, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm a firm believer there is someone out there who is better than you at everything in your business. Just because you started it, just because you're the owner, the founder, the entrepreneur, like, it doesn't mean you're the best at it. You may have a passion for it, and we teach that to our clients too. Like, if you're the owner, but you really love filing paperwork, go hire a CEO. You don't have to run the company. Like, find someone who's better at it so you can enjoy what you're doing. Your company can still make an impact, and everybody can be operating at their highest level. I think that's the most important thing.
Awesome. Yeah, I hear you. So one thing that I hear from my clients quite a lot when they come into my world is but Vicky, how do I hire and how do I onboard people when financially I'm not quite there yet? So I have my view on it, but I'm here interviewing you today, so I'd love to hear your view on that.
That is the toughest question, I think, in business. Not even just hiring, but like, how do I do anything if it requires money that I don't have?
Yeah.
Not a huge fan of taking on debt to hire people, but I can at least tell you my story, and then I can tell you the path we take with our clients. And for me, I was in the same boat. I was, we were making good money, don't get me wrong, but the leap to hire somebody full time for $50,000, $60,000, $80,000 a year, that's like, oof, that's a big lift if you're not even sure it's going to work. If it's your first hire, you've never hired anybody, that's risky. The first hire is always the hardest. So what I did was I made absolute sure that I had my systems and processes in place first. So I knew it was very well documented. I had a whole, we called them playbooks. So every function that took place in our business, we had a documented process with a video, a screen share video, and a step-by-step document of how to do it. So when I brought somebody on, I was really only focused on their character and who they were as a person, because I knew that anybody could come in and perform these steps written on a sheet of paper. That part was easy. So when you take out the skill level or the job functions, and you don't worry about that stuff, you just worry about the human being, it becomes a lot easier to hire. And that's really what we do today in our company too. We've partnered with another company, a sister company to ours. They specialize in optimizing people. So they can quantify everything about a human being. It's the creepiest, the most effective technology I've ever seen. They know more about you than you know about you, which is, I it blows my mind every single time I see this. So we actually build roles around human beings. And that is what's really effective when hiring, because then we can see when we're interviewing, we know who you are. We know how you show up in the world. Anybody can do the tasks because, again, it's step-by-step information. It's very simple. The skill level is not required. We look for specific people, specific personalities, and how they're going to show up in the culture that we've built so that everything meshes together. So, kind of two different approaches, the DIY approach versus the very scientific approach. I wouldn't say one's wrong, one's right. It's what's going to work for you. But for me, it's always focus on the person, not the tasks.
Yes, completely. I do agree. So I'm going to add a different spin on this from what I do. So I'm a psychic business strategist and energy healer, which enables me to tap into the core of the person sat in front of me, and I will instantly start channeling what they need, because it just comes to me so very naturally. So when they ask me the same question, Vicky, how do I outsource when I'm not financially ready for it? There are two ways in which they can do that. And one of the ways is you start small by hiring out 1 hour a week instead of 10. And then you start building it up and you start slowly handing off the things without having that emotional overwhelm, that financial pressure. And in that 1 hour that you're delegating to someone else, you use that to do your business income generating activities. So if that means that you get to go and have three conversations in that hour that you wouldn't have had because you're doing admin or you're doing something else that you don't enjoy, then you're making the most of that hour you're outsourcing. Therefore, you're going to get an ROI. Then that makes you more profitable in your business, which means you can then start investing that little bit more. I don't know if you've heard, I don't know if it's Profit First or there's another system anyway, where you actually just start popping money into different containers, even if it's 10 pence or even if it's 2p, it doesn't matter. You just start somewhere. So you start with the smallest amount and you just slowly build it up. So that's one of the ways that I share with my clients to start outsourcing. And the other way is actually, well, if you are in a collaboration with someone and you get to collaborate and do a joint venture, you get to do the magic of you, they get to do the magic of them, and together you're combining, you're building something, and then you're both going to collaborate and move forward and do it that way. I don't believe you have to have huge amounts of money to invest first to make it happen. All you need to do is have options and choices of how to grow. Now, a lot of people don't know how to do that. So you with your expertise, mine with my expertise, we all come with different magical gifts and knowledge and incentives. So when your clients are coming to you and saying they're ready for more, what would be the next step for them then if they are ready to wind down a little bit? You know, they've got to the point where they're starting to outsource, they're starting to grow. I know I've just read in like your notes, you give them an exact roadmap that takes them from the Fortune 50 to solopreneurs to growing their business in 6 months. So what would your next step guidance be for that?
Yeah, real quick, I want to touch on that. The Profit First system, I've used that in all my businesses and my personal life for years. That's how I hired my first employee, along with the starting small. Like, yeah, I love that. Absolutely. Yeah. With a VA or whatever. But yeah, I set aside the money that I would pay someone for, I think I did 3 months, and just made sure it didn't hurt the business. And then I was able. So not only did I have money set aside to pay them in case anything happened, but then I was used to it already. The business was used to it already. So I knew it could handle it. So yeah, excellent tip there. As far as the, you know, growing the business and the exact steps, if you're ready to grow, first things first, you got to check yourself. However many hours you're working right now, I want you to imagine working 50% less, because that's the only way, in my opinion, to grow a business is like I said before, is doing less. So when a lot of people come to us and they're like, you know, I'm working 40 hours a week, I gotta grow the business, I gotta hire people, like I need to grow first and then I can scale back. Backwards. We gotta flip it. We need to work 50% less at a minimum before we can move forward and grow. So the roadmap that we work on is we first figure out, you know, we get your companies, we call it navigation. So it's your mission, vision, and core values. So many people skip this step, and it is the most vital step in knowing. That's why we call it navigation. It's the direction of your business. All ideas look like good ideas without it, and all challenges look like the biggest hurdles also without it. So we make sure that's intact. Quite honestly, we spend like 3-4 weeks on it, and every single time people push back, like, this is boring work, this is not growing my business. And we're like, patience, grasshopper, please, this will pay off. So from there, then what we do is we pick three things. Every single company, whether they have 50 employees or you're a solopreneur, we pick three projects. And those are the only three things that we are focused on for the next 90 days. Within those three projects, we identify the three critical actions that must take place in order for those things to not only be possible, but inevitable. And this is where we get a lot of pushback from people, because they'll say, but I have so many things I have to do in my business. And one by one, we question them. Why do you have to do that? Why do you have to post on Facebook 15 times a day? Why do you have to comment on other people's posts on Instagram for 4 hours. Like, you don't, it's a belief system that you have that you have to do these other things. It's the world kind of imposing on your free time, if you will. So we'll peel back the layers. What's actually getting you the result? And you said before, you mentioned you're focusing on the revenue generating activities. Vicky, I'd love to hear from you, but even from my clients, we're working with 7, 8, 9 figure entrepreneurs. Not all the time have they identified the true revenue generating activities. So we, in the navigation phase, we're also identifying, you know, what are those things that are actually moving your company forward? And we build the projects around that. So we do those two things first, and then we schedule it. We put on the calendar and make sure that those 9 activities, so the 3 within each of the 3 projects, those happen at whatever frequency we decide, but they happen. They're on the calendar. And every single time in 90 days, we take our clients through a process. You work 50% less at the end of 90 days. If you're working 20, you work 10. If you're working 60, you're working 30. And we have 100% success rate, literally from my business partner worked at Nike down to solopreneurs. It's a foolproof process, but we get a lot of pushback along the way.
Yeah, totally. And this is actually a really good opportunity to start talking about the other aspect of business that people get really stuck with, and that's resistance. So before we go into that, I'm just going to kind of touch base on your point there as well. Like the income generating activities, I see so many of my own clients come in and they're not doing the income generating activities, but what they are doing is all the busy shit that everyone out there saying, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, because they're allowing social media to come in and mess up their minds. And I have fallen victim to it as well. My hands are up. I fell victim to it for a while. But it's only when we have the knowledge and understanding that actually that's not what we need to do to build a business. There are key elements of building a business, and there are two major factors of having a business. One, what the fuck are you offering? And two, who are you serving? When you bring them both of those together, then you can start building out. But a lot of people will come in and they don't even have the basic clarity. And it's like, rah. But yeah, when it comes to, is there one specific way to earn a living? I don't believe there is, because marketing comes on 7 to 8 different pillars if you're doing it right. And then you've got relationships that you're building, you've got networking. There's just so many different aspects to it. But I love the way that you break it down for your clients and you get them focused on what it is they must be doing to be able to then tap into having more. And I love the phrase of less is more. So, talking about resistance and moving into that. So you use the phrase kickback, and yeah, a lot of people kick back. So why would they kick back? Why is it that you? Why do you feel that they get to that point where it's like, oh, this is like pulling teeth out of a flipping crocodile. You're not going to get it because they're in that stuck phase. So how do you navigate that?
That it really comes in with that company that I said we partner with. So this was, it was something that we encountered for a long time. And every single human being, you will reach your limit. And don't hear me say you have a limit, but you will reach the limit you put on yourself at some point. I ran into this in my first business, even before that, when I was helping another business grow. And until I really understood what it was about breaking through that barrier and becoming truly limitless, we all get there. So in your mind, there is a number. If you were to think about it, whatever, if it's your personal income, if it's your business's revenue or profit, if it's the number of employees you have, go dollar by dollar, employee by employee, you will hit that number where you say, oof, can't do that one. Nope, no way in my business, not in my town, not in my industry, not with my skill set. It's inwardly focused, first of all. You're focusing on yourself and you're putting those limits on yourself based on your worldly beliefs. So what we really have to do is we have to attack those beliefs. Where do they come from? Why do you have them? Let's get through them and let's prove to yourself that they're self-imposed and that they can be overcome. Because it's impossible that all human beings are created equal, but we don't perform equally. That If you think about that, it doesn't make sense, right? How could you have, love him or hate him, an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos or a Mark Zuckerberg worth hundreds of billions of dollars, and you're sitting over here and you can't fathom running a 7-figure business? They figured it out, and it wasn't that they figured it out. They just got past the belief that they couldn't go any further. And they always just believe that there was another level to achieve. So there's a number of different ways to get there, but it starts with the inward focus of saying, first of all, stop looking at myself because stop putting these limits on myself, and then figure out where can I go and what are my best talents, and surround yourself with everything else to make up the deficit.
Yeah, completely. I completely hear you. So I love the fact that you outsource that to support your clients because you recognize that it's not your area of expertise. And I think that's a really amazing leadership quality to have. Because if you're not holding that space for your client saying, actually, do you know what, this is not my area of expertise, but I recommend or I suggest that you go and do this first, then that brings you into that space of being able to still be in your zone of genius without liquidizing what you're doing and basically failing your client. So I have worked with many coaches in the industry. I have joined many programs. I have done many things, mainly for market research purposes. I've joined things for market research. I've joined things to learn. I've joined things to experience. I've joined things to grow and expand my own mind, my own body, my own soul. And one of the things that I realized is as coaches, our biggest struggle with our clients is always the inner resistance that they have inside. And that inner resistance, once unpicked, literally gives them a life-changing breakthrough. But what I also realize is that there are so many different elements to that resistance. It can even go back to past lives. It's that intense. And a lot of people will go, well, I'm feeling this resistance, therefore I'm not in alignment. And then that's where I have a little mini meltdown. Okay, so whilst we're bringing it to the table, I'm going to share my view, if that's okay with you, Brandon.
Please.
So when you're claiming that you are in, this is for the audience, not you, but when you are claiming you're in misalignment, the chances are you're not. The chances are you're in resistance. And how do you differentiate between the two? So resistance is stories. It's the ego. It's the I can't do this. I can't manage that. That's never going to work. It feels too uncomfortable. When you're in that stage, that's when you know you're facing resistance and that's when it's an inner fear. How do you know it's misalignment? And this is the bit that everyone just seems to misunderstand. So I'm hoping that we're going to clear the air with that one today. A misalignment is a knowing that something is missing. That's it. It's that knowing that something is missing. When you're looking at your offers, when you're looking at your bank account, when you're looking at your business structure and you're sitting there and you're going, something doesn't feel right. I'm missing something from this that's going to piece it all together and make it magical. That's when you know you're in misalignment. It could be that your audience is off. It could be that your pricing isn't aligned for you. It could be that there's a different technique or something that you need to bring into it. But misalignment is all about that missing piece. Whereas resistance is all the fucking shitty stories in your brain. And then people just, they seem to confuse these two. And then that's where I feel that a lot of business owners are holding themselves back from this core point of resistance versus misalignment. Do you ever feel that?
Yeah, and I love the way you put context to that too, because if you can put words to something, that's self-imposed wisdom. If you can't, if you just feel it, that's wisdom from a higher power that is coming to you to deliver that message of saying it's not right, fix it. And you have to lean into that and trust it and get out of your own way. I think ego, pride, self-idolatry, whatever you want to call it, those are the things that hold people back in business. Because when you're in your head, when you're telling yourself those stories, you have words. It's coming from yourself. And none of us, not a single person on the planet is smart enough or wise enough to guide their own life. So yeah, I love how you differentiate that. We do it all. I do it all the time. I'm guilty of this. But you got to check yourself. Like, do I have words? Do I not have words? Where is this coming from? Okay, let's lean into that.
Yeah, it could be words, it could be beliefs, it could be stories, it could be excuses, it could be reasons. They could be very, very valid reasons. But at the same time, the second you start storytelling is the second you're in resistance. So hopefully that clears up some of the discontentment that's out there in the world right now, especially in the online space, which is so noisy. Okay, so the next part for this podcast today, Brandon, is one of the things that I love to do, and I'm starting to bring more into the podcast, is actually doing some EFT tapping at the end of each session. Do you know what EFT is?
I've never heard of that.
Exciting. Okay. So EFT is emotional freedom technique. It's energy psychology where we tap into what we do want by releasing all the things that we don't want. Now, it's an energetic shift. We don't go too deep on it because it's just a gentle little 5-minute thing that we do as part of the podcast. Would you be willing to join me in some EFT?
I'll give anything a try. Let's see it.
Okay,
see
great. So if you could tap into success, I'll get you to kind of guide me on where we need to go right now. In fact, let's use you as a little bit of a guinea pig.
Love being a guinea pig. This will be
love
fun.
Love being a guinea pig. Love it. Yes. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water. So for those that don't know what EFT is, it's Chinese psychology. It's energy. It's Chinese energy psychology where we use the acupressure points on the head, face and body. So we use the side of the hand, the eyebrow, the side of the eye, under the nose, chin, collarbone, under the arm and back to the top of the head. I might use the fingers, but I'll guide you as we tap. Now, what happens is we can think of a belief or we can think of an emotion or something that we're experiencing that's preventing us from having what we want. And then we do a round of EFT, which is actually normally about 3 rounds. But just for the purpose of the podcast, we do 1 round. And then we just see what shifts within us. Okay. So if I was to say to you, Brandon, what would you like to tap into more of over this next month?
Around what you said, around success or what?
Yeah. So the podcast is about tapping into abundant success. So whatever you feel that you would like success with, whether it be business, whether it be financial, whether it be anything that you've got in your goals that you want to bring into life.
Oh man, I would love to smoke a better brisket, but I don't think that's exactly what you're looking for. That's the one thing holding me up right now in life. No, I would say let's tap into that higher wisdom, the wisdom from God. That's what I would love to do more of.
Okay, I love that. Okay, so if we're going to tap into the higher wisdom, that would be suggesting that there are parts of us that we've forgotten how to tap into the wisdom, right? So for the purpose of this tapping round, then I'm going to start us with a setup. Get my words out. I'm going to start us with a setup phrase, which is going to be, even though I forget the inner wisdom and the higher power, I deeply and completely love and accept myself. Would that be okay?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So we're just going to start tapping on the side of the hand here.
Does it matter which one?
Any hand you feel comfortable tapping with. And you just repeat after me for the setup phrase. So even though
I sometimes forget
the wisdom that I have within.
The wisdom that I have within.
From a higher power.
From a higher power.
That can guide me back to wholeness.
That can guide me back to wholeness.
I choose to deeply and completely.
I choose to deeply and completely.
Open to the possibility.
Open to the possibility.
Of strengthening my connection to my higher power.
Of strengthening my connection to my higher power.
How does that feel to say that?
Feels good.
It does, doesn't it? Okay, so we'll do that. We'll just repeat that then another 2 times. So even though. Sometimes I really forget. About the power that I have within.
About the power I have within.
To tap into a higher wisdom.
Tap into a higher wisdom.
And I choose to deeply and completely.
And I choose to deeply and completely.
Open to the possibility.
Open to the possibility.
That I can strengthen my connection.
That I can strengthen my connection.
To my higher power.
My higher power.
And then one more time. Even though. Sometimes I forget. Just how strong I am.
How much wisdom I can tap into. I choose to deeply and completely.
Strengthen. My connection to the higher wisdom.
My connection to the higher wisdom.
And then we're just going to move up to the eyebrow point. Opening this connection. We're just opening this connection to a higher wisdom under the eye. Opening this connection to a higher wisdom. Strengthening my connection to my higher self. Chin. Allowing myself to listen to the guidance. Collarbone. Allowing myself to connect the inner wisdom and the guidance. Under the arm. Tapping into more wisdom and more guidance. On top of the head. It's safe for me to tap into more wisdom and more guidance. Eyebrow. It's safe for me to receive guidance from my higher self. Side of the eye. It's safe for me to open up that channel under the eye. I strengthen my connection under the nose. It's safe for me to have this now. Chin. I wonder what amazing opportunities come from this. Collarbone. I know what's going to happen now. I'm going to get in the shower and receive all these downloads and be so overwhelmed. But it's okay. This higher wisdom is good for me. Under the arm. I strengthen my connection to the higher wisdom. Top of the head. I tap into more abundant success by connecting to my higher wisdom now. And just take a deep breath in. A deep breath out. And allow your body to just really feel into that connection. Being grounded, being safe. Being ready for the influx of the brain, downloading lots of amazing creative ideas. Opening your heart center to really leading with love. And just really feeling into that for a moment. How are you feeling, Brandon?
Good. I'm wondering. I realized I stopped repeating at some point because I got lost in the tapping. I'm hoping it still has the same effect, but the listener is probably smarter than me. And I hope you didn't stop repeating what Vicky
No,
was saying.
No, it's okay. So when that happens, it normally means because we're tapping into something and you don't always have to repeat back. Sometimes just tapping and listening is enough. So you participated, you've gone with it. You may feel a shift between now and tomorrow, maybe up to 48 hours. You might suddenly think, oh, I feel slightly different. So just being prepared with that, drinking plenty of water, taking full responsibility for yourself, reaching out to me. If you need to, you can come and find me on Instagram, the Spiritual Entrepreneur Hub. That's probably the quickest way to jump into my DMs and connect with me. But on this podcast as well, depending on where you're listening from, there's actually a microphone where you can actually send me a voice note too. So keep tapping into abundant success in the best way that you can. So Brandon, what are your next steps and what have you currently got going on for you right now?
For us, we launched a new product that, so basically we combine with that sister company. Like I said, we're now all of our service offerings are combined with them. We don't go in to specialize or to optimize a company if we're not going to touch the people. Both of us separately have just seen where if you optimize the people without the operations, it will fall apart. If you optimize the operations without the people, it will also fall apart. It's just a matter of time. So it's the combination of launching those two things together. We have a number of people very, very interested in that. So a lot of growth over the next 6 months, like intense growth that I could not have foreseen 3 weeks ago. So it's about figuring out how to rapidly scale a company without falling apart from top to bottom. So, but that's what we specialize in. So it's an exciting time, but we're absolutely ready for it.
Yeah, amazing. I love a good upscale. I love it. I love when we go through that. Oh, we've been over here for a little while now, but we know we've got to move. We've got to move that mountain, and you start climbing it and you just have the most amazing journey with it. The insights, the learnings, the developments, the growth, the inspiration, the things that didn't go so well.
The learnings, right?
Yeah. And how we adapt and overcome those on the journey too. So it's been brilliant to have you on the podcast, Brandon. Thank you so much for sharing the space with me. So for those of you that are listening, go and check out Brandon at whatif.com, and it's whadif.com, just in case you go and say it wrong, and come and get back with me over on Instagram. As I said, it's the Spiritual Entrepreneur Hub, or you can come and check me out on Facebook, where we have the community for spiritual entrepreneurs business growth, as well as finding me on my website, which is vickychisholm.com. So thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the episode. Make sure you're drinking plenty of water after doing the EFT, and don't forget to share the episode out to someone who may need this little reminder today that you can tap into inner wisdom, you can connect to your higher power, and you do have control of what happens next. Thank you so much, Brandon. Thank you everyone for listening. We'll see you soon.